Thank the whole family. I kept on saying the Shaw family, but I just, all of you, Erica, it's family, and I just, it's an honor. I've known Phil for a long time, and any friend and family of Phil's is a friend and a family of mine. So just, I appreciate your family, and just thank you so much for being here and supporting that. And I really feel, I just want to share this with you. I just felt to pray that everything that, the blessing that goes on Erica and Phil and their children goes upon your whole family, okay? I just want you to, I want you to know that. God loves you guys. God loves you guys, and I know that you're very instrumental in things that you do and where you are, and I just want to say thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to do this, so. Yeah, man, we just came off a missions weekend, and it was awesome. Every mission weekend we have, we always say, how can it get better? But we know when we serve Jesus, it always gets better and better and better and better. And is that grammar, right? Got a lot of teachers here, better, 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 better. It just does. And I just thank God for his love that he has for this body of believers, this church, and the love he has for this world. And he just wants to keep on showing who he is, and he does that, especially in our missions conference where we have missionaries coming from all over and letting us know. I just feel like, man, we got to get this out there, that people got to come and say, hey, the world is not as bad as people think it is. When we have missionaries all over the world and thousands are coming to know who Jesus is in a personal way, you know, we just hear how bad everything is. And nothing's good is happening, but you got to come to a missions conference and say, wow, things are happening all over the world, and that's exciting. So this morning, I just want to share, and I want to share out of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It's a verse that we all know. We've read it many, many times, but we're in the Thanksgiving weekend, and we're going into the Christmas week. I mean, this year came by so quick, and then it's here. And so this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about giving thanks. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, the title of this message is Give Thanks. And a lot of times we just had Thanksgiving. You're sitting around your table with your family and your friends. And all of us, you know, we say, like, you know, let's give thanks for what God has done for you. Let's go around the table and say, you know, let's give thanks of what God has done for you this year. But this message has to do with not just giving thanks for the good things, but can we give thanks through the whole year for everything that's happened? And sometimes they're not always good things, and we struggle sometimes, and there's failures, and there's struggles, and there's things we say, Lord, why did this happen? But when we go to the Word of God, I just want to help explain that, what the Lord says about that. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, we've read this many, many times. Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're just going to take that one part of the message of the scripture is give thanks in all circumstances. Paul is speaking to the Thessalonian church, but he's also speaking to you and I. He says, rejoice always. He says, pray always. And then he says, in all things, give thanks. That sounds really good. You know, it sounds good, it sounds right, it sounds biblical, it sounds Christian-y. It's like, hey, we all should be doing this. But we may be tempted to put a but onto the end of that sentence. But you don't know, Pastor Tom, what I've been through this year. But if you really walked in my shoes, but if you really understood where I've been, but, and I've told this to my mom a lot. My mom and I talk about the Bible a lot. And, you know, I would give her, I'd quote a scripture, and then she'd say, but, and she tried to quote another scripture, you know, to kind of like make her side be right. And I said, Ma, there aren't any buts in the Bible. You can't but the Bible. It's like, once the verse comes out, I mean, if you know who Jesus is, there's no but to that, you know? And so we're reading this, and people say, yeah, but you don't really know. But Jesus really knows. He's the center of our life. I don't have the answer.
We all don't have the answer. Yes, we do. We have the answer. He's Jesus. But there's sometimes we just don't have the answer for the time for that person, but we give him Jesus. We give him Jesus. So we may be tempted to say, but you don't understand. But Jesus says, Paul says, he says, but give thanks in all circumstances. I want us to see this. Our first point is, in every circumstance, giving thanks is easy to do when the blessings are coming. Oh man, this is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everything is good. The blessings are flowing, but it's very difficult when troubles are all around us. Isn't it sometimes to really say, Lord, you say pray without ceasing. You say rejoice always. And then you say in everything give thanks. You know, there are some circumstances in our lives which would be improper to say, thank you, Lord. There are some times where you say, you know, Paul does not say be thankful for everything. He says be thankful in everything. There is a big difference. It's not for everything, it's in everything. There are circumstances, like I said, in our lives that it would be improper to give thanks to sickness. Because I don't believe through the Bible that Jesus gives you sickness. And I want you to hear this because I really prayed and the Lord was showing me this. We have a hard time when it comes to sickness and things that go wrong. You know, we lose a parent. We may even lose a child at an early age. And we want to blame God for everything. And so, you know, I've heard people say growing up, I have the sickness. God gave me the sickness because he wants to increase my faith. He wants me to spend more time with him. You know, God wants me to do this or that. He wants me to learn patience. And so when trials come, we think God gave you that so that you could be a better person. Well, I always tell people, if God gave you sickness, then you can't pray to God to take sickness away. Right? Think about it. If you say, God, thank you for giving me this, I'm learning, you're trying to teach me patience, you're trying to teach me more faith and, you know, have more faith in you, my faith has to grow, and well, then you can't pray, Lord, heal my body. See, the Bible says that by his stripes, we are healed. So we have to look at this a little bit differently. And here in an example is in Luke 17, 5 through 6, it says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So Jesus would have had great opportunity to say, yes, I'm going to teach you how to increase your faith. I'm going to teach you how to grow your faith. I'm going to teach you how to be the biggest faith person ever. But what does he say? If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, and every time I teach on this, I'm saying I'm going to Walmart, the store, and I'm buying all these little mustard seeds and passing them out. And every time I don't, so forgive me. A mustard seed, it's smaller than your pinky nail. So that would have been a great time for Jesus to say, yeah, Pastor Tom, I'm going to increase your faith. You need more faith. You need more faith. And he says, you don't need more faith. Here's the key. You don't need more faith. We need more obedience to God's word. Once we understand God's word and we obey God's word, I don't need more faith. I'm obeying God's word. Can you put that up? And here's the second part of this. Faith is not measured by its quantity, but simply by the presence. Ooh. Faith is not measured by its quantity. I don't need more faith, but simply faith is presence, which is Jesus living inside of you, is all you need. Because if you need more faith, how much more faith do you need? Where is the goal? How do you measure more faith? How do you measure more faith? Can you measure more faith? I've reached more faith. That's just like I've reached salvation. Well, Jesus already did salvation on the cross. So you can't reach more of salvation. You can't reach more of faith. And this is where we get mixed up. You know, like, we'll look at, and we've all done this, we look at great preachers, you know, and great men and women of God, and we say, oh, man, I wish I had the faith they had. Their faith moves mountains. It's like, wait a minute. The Bible says you just need faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can move a mountain. We're looking at man's faith. This is what we've come to. Why? I believe we've come to look at man's faith because we don't want to have to deal with our own faith. I just want faith like so-and-so. I see him on TV, and he's got thousands of people. And I've been to Haiti, and these guys and other people in this church have been to Africa and other countries all over the world, and they're praying for people. People are being healed. Thousands and thousands are coming to know Jesus. They don't have more faith. Faith is not measured by its quality, quantity, but simply by its presence. Do you have Jesus? If you have Jesus, you have all the faith you need. So, I think I've kind of like ruined your theology now. I thought God gave me sickness. Well, if you think that, stop praying for healing. Because you have to wait to see what God does with you. That's not what the Bible says. So in every circumstance, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. God is at work in and through and in spite of the things that don't seem good. Even when things don't seem good, my Bible says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. It's all God. It's all God. And then Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I love that verse because that means God's not done with me yet. That means God's not done with you yet. I'm confident that he's continually to work on each and one of every one of us every day to complete what God wants to have in your life. We just have to say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in everything. So when Paul says in everything, not for everything, I don't thank God for sickness because sickness does not belong in my body and sickness does not belong in your body. I don't pray, thank God for, you know, this happened and now I'm praying more. Well, man, that's not what the Bible says. In everything tells me that God is working through every circumstance for the good, for his good, for my good. And I am confident that he is going to continue to work until the job is done. That's why Paul can say, in everything give thanks, because God's still working. Sickness isn't coming from him. Trials aren't coming from him. You know, but when it comes, because of the fallen world we live in, we have the Lord to go to that will uphold us, that will be our shield, that will be our strength, that will be our refuge, that will be our healer, that will be our good shepherd, that will be our provider, that will be our deliverance. That's why Paul can say, in all things, because he knows who Jesus is. He's felt the presence of God. And that's what I want us to do as a church, to see that in anything that's going on, in every circumstance, we can say, hey, my God still is a God of love, a God of peace, a God, he's my shepherd, he's my provider. And so, number two, in this giving thanks in all things, giving thanks for what you have not yet received is the second thing. Wow, that's another hard one. But the Bible talks about that. Give thanks, Pastor Tom, when I didn't even receive it yet. What about Jesus when he was feeding the multitude? When 5,000 came, the Bible says in John chapter 6, 9 through 11, he says he has compassion over the multitude, and they say 5,000 because they didn't count women and children, so they were saying maybe 10 to 15,000. We know the miracle. And there is a boy who has a fish, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and that's all he has. And Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there were much grass in the place, so that the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And here's the key verse, verse 11, if you can bring that up, John 6, 11. It says, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, wow, what was he giving thanks? He's got probably 15,000 people. What is he giving thanks for? He has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I always remember this story because I know it's, I don't mix it up like 5 fishes and 2 loaves, because whenever we used to go fishing with my dad, my mom would pack a big lunch, and I knew I had always had more bread than the fish I caught. My lunches were so much bigger than any fish I ever caught. But here's Jesus. You say, give thanks in all things. Here's Jesus as an example. He hasn't even received anything yet. He's got 5 and 2, and he's got 15,000. That's, you know, come on, math, it doesn't work. 5 and 2 does not equal 15,000. After Jesus thanked God for what he did not yet have, after Jesus thanked God for what he did not yet have, he was then able to receive what his Father chose to give. Let that sink in. I'm going to read it again. After Jesus thanked God for what he did not yet have, he was then able to receive what the Father was going to give. Give thanks even when you haven't yet received it. What about the story of Lazarus? We all know that story. He's dead in the tomb for 4 days. And I like this, John 11:41, he says, and Jesus comes, and you know the story, and Mary and Martha said, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And now he's in the tomb. Oh, you're going to open up a tomb? You're going to roll the stone away after 4 days? It's going to smell. It's going to stink. And Jesus keeps on saying, there's a whole chapter there. He's going to say, hey, I'm the resurrection of life. I'm the resurrection of life. And so he says, so they took away the stone in 11:41. And he said, took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Think about this, church. We're waiting for God to do everything and then say, oh, don't we serve an awesome God? No, we need to be a church that says, I haven't received it yet. Isn't our God awesome? Why don't we change it? Change it up a little bit. Like, surprise God some morning. Go, hey, God, I haven't received it yet, but man, you're an awesome God, and I know what you're giving me today is going to be awesome. I'm sure his tears would run from his eyes and say, they got it. Calvary's got it. And so, thank you before I even got it, before I've even received it. See, when we step out before we see it, God works. And it's all through the Bible. After Moses, these are I'm going to just give you some one-liners. After Moses extended his staff over the battle with the Amalekites, Israel prevailed. After the priest stepped into the flooded Jordan River in Joshua chapter 3, God stopped the river's flood. After Israelites marched around 7 times around the walls of Jericho, God destroyed the walls. After Peter preached his courageous Pentecost sermon, the people were cut to the heart and came to Christ in repent of faith. 3,000 received Jesus. He didn't say, Lord, how many are going to receive if I preach? And no, he says, wait a minute, I just got filled with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he goes out and preaches. 3,000 get saved. He wasn't worried about, God, is this going to work? Is this going to happen? No, he says, yeah, I have not received. I'm going to go do what you've called me to do. Wouldn't that be awesome for a church, a community that says, God, I'm not waiting for it to happen. I'm going to believe and receive it in my heart, and we're going to go after it. Hallelujah. After Paul and Silas were in prison, in Acts chapter 16, it says, we know the story. It says they were praying and singing hymns in prison. Who prays and sings hymns in prison? Now think, they're in a physical prison, but we all have our prisons of something. Are we praising and singing hymns? And then the next verse, after they did this, it says, suddenly there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Now, they didn't say, please unfasten our bonds, and then we're going to start thanking you, Jesus. They said, hey, in all things, I've yet not received, but we're going to give thanks to God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm acting like this is such an easy thing. It's not. That's why we're going to talk about it, because it isn't easy. We have to be reminded daily, daily. See, the walk with God is not this looking, putting the television on and seeing that great preacher that has 5,000 every Sunday and saying, oh, it's easier for him. It's no easier for him than you and I. We're all going through the same thing. He doesn't, or she doesn't, have more faith
they understand what it is to yet not receive and believe. We can do that, and you can do that. Is it easy? It's not easy. It becomes a lifestyle if you trust God. So after the church was praying for Peter in prison, God sent his angel to rescue Peter from prison. Not yet received. Giving thanks in all things. In every circumstances, not for, but in every circumstance. Not yet received. And the third one is, it's God's will for you. Let's bring that verse back up on verse 18. It is God's will for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. So you're saying, oh, Pastor Tom, see, I set you guys up. Oh, this is Pastor Tom's great idea. And then we continue to read. No, this is God's great idea. It's his will for us. Not my will for the church. It's God's will for you. What a key to all this. That word will means what God wishes to be done by us. The purpose of God to bless mankind through Jesus Christ. That's his will. It's his will. It's his will. See, we think God's all up there just like this angry, mean God. Why did all these things happen to me? We do live in a fallen world. Bad things do happen. But my salvation, my walk with God is not based on all the good things that happen. We have to get our eyes off the present, look at the future, and say, my walk with God is based on eternity with Jesus. This is temporal. I keep on hearing this all the time. We're living in a temporal place. This is not our home. See, we're trying to make this our home. We want Jesus to come down and say, hey, Jesus, make this a beautiful place to live. He is going to someday. But salvation is based on eternity. But we can still have heaven here on earth when we walk in the obedience of Jesus. So it's God's will for us. See, that helps me understand this. Hey, man, hey, God, because I, you know me, I talk to God just like this. Hey, Jesus, man, I don't understand what's going on in our life right now. And he's saying, but Tom, all things work good for you because my hand is still in it. Tom, be confident that I will continue to do work in you until I'm finished. And that's when he comes back. So I know that the end isn't, okay, I got out of this situation, nothing's ever going to happen. No, we're going to have situation after situation. But in that situation, we learn another aspect of who Jesus is. That's all he wants to do. He's going to say, okay, we live in a fallen world, but I'm coming back. That's why I gave you Jesus, so that you can have this peace and assurance of where you're going. That's the most important thing. So God's will. It's God's grand design to create a joyful, rejoicing people. People have been turned off from church. You want to know why? Because church isn't rejoicing. Church isn't joyful. You ever walk in some churches? Come on, not this church. But in some churches, it's like, man, what did Jesus eat a bunch of lemons today? Because, man, these people aren't happy. They're not smiling. I see them outside. They're grumbling. Why is this happening? It's like, no, in God's great design, his master design, he's creating joyful, rejoicing people. His purpose is not to create ungrateful, unhappy, ugly, discouraged people. He's not, that's not his great design. His great design is to say, when you know my son, Jesus Christ, you have joy everlasting for as long as you are here until I come back. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, not my job, not my money, not my relationships, not even my marriage. If I am waiting for my marriage to give me everything, that means Jesus isn't everything. And we do that. If it was just my Lord, if you just give me the promotion, then I'll have enough money, then we can do things. And Lord, I've done this. You know my story. I used to make deals with God. Let's make a deal. Older people would know the show. Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. I'll tell you your age. I used to do this with Jesus. Hey, Lord, if you give me this, then I'll do this. I used to make deals with God. And it wasn't very successful at all.
And very was not even a word. It was never successful, really. I tried to make it successful, but it never did. I made deals with God. I said, God, if you would only, then I could. And he's saying, well, first of all, you can't, but I can. I can. Jesus can. God can. Why don't you let me work through your life? Why don't you let me be the center of your life? And I've learned that I've tried to fill a lot of my inner desires. This is a whole other message. I've tried to fill my whole inner desires with what I thought would please me. And I never asked Jesus, Jesus, what would please you about me and you together? Jesus, what I've said this before. Jesus, what would a day look like with you and I spending time together? Because that's who he is. It's his will for us to be happy and to rejoice. But it's only through him. His magnificent plan in the work of redemption, the cross. When Jesus paid the price for our sins to show the world what humanity was intended to be in the first place. That's what this is all about. Hey, yes, there is a fallen world, but I am here. I am here, and we can do this together. Even though we live in a fallen world in which there are many things not to be thankful for, that should not overshadow the things for which we ought to be profoundly thankful for in Jesus Christ. There will always be things happening, but we have to learn in every circumstance, yet not received. This is God's will for you and I to be thankful. So God wants us to be thankful in spite of circumstances. And here's the key. So that people who don't know Jesus can say, I don't know what they have, but I want it. They have joy. They have victory. I used to go, you know, when we all go through the same thing. No matter what we're going through, we go to work and we have people that are going through the same thing you and I are going through, but they're looking at you and saying, how are you handling life like me? And what God is really, his plan is to say that the world would say, man, I want what you have because your marriage may be on the rocks, you know, maybe struggling. You may have a child with some health issues, or you may have lost your job. You're sitting next to the same person who's going through the same thing. But they're looking at you saying, wait a minute. There's a joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory of God in this person. I want what they have. That's the master's design. Will we walk in that way? Will we walk in that way? And then at the end, the last part of this verse, the last thing is, it's in Christ Jesus. It's not in you. It's not in your money. It's not in your relationships. It's not in your job. It's not in your retirement plan. It's in Jesus. That's why we can give thanks. It's only in and through Jesus Christ that we are able to give thanks in every circumstance. When Paul felt himself powerless, God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. When you feel weakest, God's hand will strengthen you. His spirit that dwells inside of you will encourage you to stand. We don't do this on our own. We're not asking you to do it. God's never asked us to do it on his own. Put the next one up that I have highlighted. His grace equals his ability, his strength, and his power. That's what gets us through. Not our ability, not our strength, not our power, but his grace. Why can we be thankful in all things? Because his grace equals his ability, his strength, and his power. Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's peace, which surpasses all of our understanding, the Bible says, will come into your soul and your mind and give you a calming assurance that all is well because your Savior, Jesus, is in control. The cross, he's in control. He's in control. In the last verse, John 16:33, it's all in Christ. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's why, in all things,
in all things. In all things. Not yet received. It's his will. Why? Because Jesus has overcome. See, the church has tried to make this very, very, very hard. Religion has tried to make this very, very hard. Jesus says, it doesn't get any better than this, that I've already done everything. I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm just asking you to receive it. And then Jesus says, we'll work on understanding it together. And the last thing I want you to see, if we will thank God for what he has not yet done, we will position ourselves to receive what he intends to do. I always tell people, take your phones out, take pictures, write it down. I have no problem taking your phone out as long as you're not texting your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Take it out, take a picture, because this is so important. If we will thank God for what he has not yet done, we will position ourselves to receive what he intends to do. It is just like, wow, God, if I could just wake up every morning and just remember that. His gift may come in that moment. It may come in years to come. It may come in ways you recognize and in ways you don't. But it will come. He's coming back. He is coming back. Let's thank him for what we have and for what we do not yet have. That's the key. That's why Paul could be shipwrecked, could be poor, could be naked, could be beaten, left for dead. I mean, read Paul's story. You know, we always say, I've said it too, which is probably wrong to say, oh, I wish I was like Paul. Oh, I wish I had the faith of Paul. I used to say that until God spoke to me and says, wait a minute. You're looking at a man. Is all he's doing is taking his mustard seed faith and saying, I believe this. Now, we may not understand it all, but I've taken that much and I'm saying, I believe this. I believe this. Let's thank him for what we have. Most of all, let's thank him for what we have not received yet. Bring that up one more time if we will thank God, and then we're going to close in prayer. If we will thank God for what he has not yet done, this is so important, we will position ourselves to receive what he intends to do. God's just waiting to give. He's a giver. The only thing he took was our sins. He took our sins. But he's a giver. He's a giver of life and a giver it more abundantly. He's a giver of love. He's a giver of grace. He's a giver of mercy. He's a giver. Let's position ourselves. If we would thank God for what he has not yet done, we will position ourselves to receive what he intends to do. Can you imagine the anticipation of saying, God, I'm positioning myself for what I have not yet received because I'm going to receive what you have intended for me. Can you imagine saying that to God? He's going to blow your mind when he starts blessing you. You're not saying, if we thank God for what he has not yet done, we will position ourselves to receive from our boss what he intends us to do. We're not talking about our boss. We're not talking about our retirement account. Our financial advisor can't wait to call me. Man, I want to position myself, not yet received, to see what God has to give me. It will blow your mind when you can do that. So an encouraging word as we move out of Thanksgiving time to Christmas time, we're talking about a God that wants to bless you. Always wanted to bless you. That's why he sent his son. And I just want you to catch this. Is it easy? No. But it becomes much easier when you live it as a lifestyle. And that's what I want to encourage us as a church. And I always say this, you and I can do this. Why? Because a lot of them have done this. And most of all, Jesus has already gone and done it all. We just need to receive it. So let's stand. Stand and close, and I just thank you once again. It is a beautiful thank you for your families that are here and dedicating a baby and
God wants to do miracles in and through us. And Lord, we just thank you once again, Lord. We thank you for the beautiful creation of birth, of life. You're the giver of life. You're the giver of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done, all that you've given, all that you're doing in and through us. Lord, we thank you, God, as we listen to this word, that we would take this word and say, Lord, in all, not for all, in all, that we would give thanks for all that you're doing in us and through us. And let's rejoice, and we're going to pray, but also we can't forget, in all things, Lord, we're just going to thank you, because we want to position ourselves to receive what you want to give. And we're going to take that and say, Lord, there are things I haven't received yet, and I'm going to believe that you're the giver of this life. You're the giver of my life. And we're going to position ourselves even as a church to start looking at, God, where are you? That's where we want to go. That's where we want to be. And we thank you once again for our family, God, the church, Calvary Gospel, that you have created. And Lord, you said if you create the church, the gates of hell will not prevail. And Lord, you have great things for Calvary Gospel and everyone here. And I say, Lord, continue to bring blessing and favor to this day and for all these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Come fellowship, greet someone you haven't seen before, and come down and have some coffee. Praise God.